What a lovely and what a fitting song for tonight. Let God be praised. That is Jesus, who comes with bounties to steep our lives in bounties freely given. Today is Jesus' commemoration of his coronation. Any time a king gets to the throne or a new king comes onto the throne, that's a day of joy for the whole nation. This ought to be a day of joy for the whole world. Because Christ became king over the whole world. He's the universal king. He reigns not only over the church. He reigns over New Zealand and Australia and over China and over every aspect of the universe. And congregation, that is a time that we are to more often think of than we do. I've had a couple of conversations again today how little this day is commemorated in New Zealand. Really, never do you hear of an Ascension Day service. Perhaps the only church that might do that is the Catholic Church, but not in the mainline Protestant denominations. That is not heard. Now, there may be other reasons for that, but there's neglect here. And I'm thankful to see you here tonight, because really there is a reason for us to call attention to this as much as we do call attention to the resurrection. And I've said it before, and you may have heard it before, but there is in the Psalm book much more about Ascension Day than about resurrection. There's only one slight verse that refers to resurrection. But there are whole psalms dedicated to Ascension Day. There's a whole book dedicated to Ascension Day. Children, what do you think? Which book is that? A whole Bible book dedicated to the Ascension Day. I might challenge you for a moment to think about that, but I'll reveal it to you. It's the book of Hebrews. Our book of Hebrews only makes one reference to the resurrection again, but it's full of ascension because it pictures for the New Testament church the significance of the Day of Atonement. The whole Day of Atonement is woven into the very book of Hebrews. And the Day of Atonement, when the priest went into the Holy of Holies, pictures for us the ascension of the Lamb of God, slain on Passover night, slain on Good Friday, going into the heavenly glory. One remarkable prophecy that perhaps often escapes our attention is in Daniel chapter 7, where Daniel sees the ascension of Jesus in a night vision. If you have your Bibles open, I recommend you for a moment travel to Daniel 7. It's a chapter which speaks about the coming of the kingdoms, the four beasts, and I will not now enlarge on that, what those beasts are. And then in verse 9, he sees the Ancient of Days, who sits on the throne, as white as snow is his garment. And then you look in verse 13, and I saw in the night visions, and beheld, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days, God himself. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all nations, people, nations, languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, shall not pass away. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Remarkable, isn't it? The Son of Man he sees. Not the Son of God, not an angel, He's a man-child. Brought to the throne. No, brought unto the throne. And that's Jesus' ascension. Now this evening I draw your attention to the celebration of that out of an unusual chapter. Let's turn back in our Bibles to 1 Kings 10. And this evening I'd like to draw your thoughts to two verses of that well-known chapter, but we'll reread it with each other briefly. It's the visit of the Queen of Sheba to the palace of King Solomon. And let's read this remarkable history. So I read to you 1 Kings 10, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. So anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and all the house he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And then the words that I tonight like to draw your attention to. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord God, thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. And then in verse 13, "And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned, and she went to her own country, she and her servants." Now this evening, may I draw your attention to verse 9 in particular as a spiritual direction. How are we to respond to this ascension of Jesus Christ? And let the words of this Queen of Sheba guide us. She said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." I don't have to review the details of this impressive little story. But the point is that when she'd seen everything, and when she'd heard everything, there was no more spirit in her. Literally, she was breathless. Stunned into silence, for a moment at least, as she saw the glory and saw the wisdom and understood the gift God gave Israel in King Solomon, she burst out in this doxology. And I hope tonight that you will do the same. You didn't have to make such a long journey as the queen did. She made a titanic journey of 6 months, tedious and tiring and dangerous, to come all the way to Israel. And as she traveled back loaded with blessings. and undoubtedly loaded with the story of the glory of the King. So let us think this evening on three fitting reflections on Jesus' ascension. First, let us praise God for it, as he did. He said, "Blessed be the Lord God for having made thee king, Solomon." We are to bless God tonight that he made Jesus king. Secondly, we are to worship him as he did, the God of Israel. And we are to worship Jesus for his breathtaking wisdom and glory. And thirdly, let us honor him with our gifts, as she did also. She gave gifts unto Solomon. We are to praise him. "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel." The queen's impressions of Solomon's glory, notice, makes her heart go up. She doesn't praise Solomon. You say, "Man, what an awesome king you are. I've never met a king like you." No, she doesn't bless him. She blesses where he came from. "Jehovah," she said, "is the God who put you on the throne." She recognized Solomon was a gift of God for Israel. She recognized, notice in her verse, that it was an act of love because the Lord loved Israel. Therefore he gave him them Solomon as a king. Today, we think about Jesus. What did he become on the day that he ascended? He didn't go to heaven just to go to heaven like all the saints go. He went to heaven with his flesh and blood, with his body, to ascend onto the throne of the universe. That's amazing, friends. And the Old Testament reveals to us this amazing feat, fact of God's redemption in such many places. And one of them we sang together as we started our service, Psalm 47. The Lord says, the Lord Most High is awesome. The Hebrew or the English is terrible, but the word means awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. God is gone up with a shout. God, Jesus. And the Lord, with the sound of a trumpet, sing praises to God and sing praises unto our King and sing praises. Why? For God, the one who went up, is the King of all the earth. That's a tremendous feat of joy, isn't it? The world is chaos, the world is restless, the convulsions of COVID, the restlessness, the flexing of the muscles of China and of Russia, and all kinds of other issues that fill the media and that disturb our thoughts. Look up. Look up. Jesus is on the throne. Let us bless God that Jesus is on the throne. That he has made Jesus to be the king of this universe. That was an act of love. The devil used to reign over this place. The prince of darkness had all the kingdoms of the earth under his finger. And as he showed him all the kingdoms, as he's tempting Jesus in the wilderness, and he paraded all the kingdoms of the world before Jesus, and he says, "If you just bow down before me once, I'll give it all up. I'll leave the place to you." "No," says Jesus, "that's not the way. Worship God. And in worshiping God, I will receive all the kingdoms." And we need to remind ourselves of that. This earth is not owned by any power of humans, not run by organizations of liberals. This world is run and ruled and reigned and guided by Jesus Christ, whom He, God, made the King of our universe. What a gift that is, congregation. As Stephen is facing the angry crowd and the stones are killing him, he saw heaven open, and what did he see? He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. We don't see that, do we? Nobody else saw it. He saw it. He got the spiritual insight in that. And so, let's keep reading that portion. He is still standing there. He's allowing Stephen indeed to be stoned. Not because he couldn't stop it, but he wanted to convert somebody there. And how many were converted that night, we don't, or that day, eternity will tell. But something is happening there that he allowed it for good reasons. He is standing there. He rules and reigns over all of our lives. And over all of our nations. And the queen says, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighteth indeed to set thee on the throne of Israel." Solomon failed. We know that. Solomon didn't do entirely justice and justice to everyone. It said that in this verse, "The Lord loved Israel forever, therefore he made thee king to do judgment and justice." Well, we know Solomon failed. But Jesus never failed. And he never will fail. He will do justice and judgment. Jesus never will promote his own advantage. He doesn't just regard the high and the mighty. He has an eye for the poor and needy. You go read Psalm 72, another one of those celebrations of ascension. As the King of Solomon sits, is reflected there, but not him. No, Jesus. He hears the cry of the poor and needy. He's not in an ivory palace there, unfeeling about what goes on here on the earth. He hears the cries and the sighs. Solomon was powerful. Solomon was a great wise man, but he was not the most powerful, nor could he answer every question. What question could Solomon not answer? He could not answer the question, "How can I be reconciled with God?" Or maybe he could point to it. But he was not the answer. He didn't have the full answer. But Jesus is the answer. He doesn't only have the answer. He is the answer. Therefore, the Hebrew author pictures him as he is ascended into the glory. He sat down at the right hand of the Father to make intercession. Able to save to the uttermost all that come unto him. Congregation, isn't that a joy? There is someone in heaven who has a heart for sinners. There is someone in heaven who still has something that touches him. He is touched with the infirmities of his own church. It is Thomas Goodwin says, I think in one of his writings, there is something sensitive in Jesus still when he's in heaven. As the Hebrew author said, he feels intimately the needs of his church, and he is touched with them. What a blessing to know that we have in heaven our flesh and blood, the head of the church, children of God, live out of this rich privilege. He is there as the advocate, constantly representing your needs and your cause, and your cries are taken up by him and answered through him. How blessed is this ascended Savior, as he is there not only king, but an high priest. And so when we ponder about these truths this evening, that he is there, how do we respond to that? Are we sometimes spiritless? I mean, think about these aspects of the redemptive work of Christ. Are we ever saying, Lord, have us not told me? Wow, there's so much more to thee than I ever knew. Don't say tonight, I don't know the King. I don't know whether he is my King, and therefore it's not appropriate for me to celebrate, because I don't know he's my King. We have a Prime Minister in New Zealand, Mr. Ardern. Is he your Prime Minister? She is. She's mine and yours. I don't know her either. Am I to honor her as the Prime Minister? I am. If I don't agree with her, I am to honor her. She is the one that God has placed in that position. Can I take it now back to Jesus? Don't you know Jesus? Does that matter? That you don't need to celebrate or honor him because you don't know him? No, my friend. You're told tonight he is your King. He is your King. By rights he has received the entire universe as his kingdom, and you're in it. As your child, as an adult, he is your King. Now whether you know him as your King, one thing. But if you dishonor him as your King, you're in trouble. Now let's think about that tonight. Let's go home and say, Lord, thou art my King, but I don't know thee. I don't see what this queen saw. My heart is not moved, not breathless like this queen was. I don't have this sight and this impression of thy glory. Go ask Jesus to show it to you, what she saw in an earthly King Solomon. Go ask him specifically. Bow before him and say, Lord Jesus, show me the glory of thy kingship over me. And let's learn to kiss the King and tremble before him. And may I ask you, if you don't know him, you've heard about him. Who hasn't heard about him here? Please come see me afterwards. If you have not heard about him, I'll spend another hour with you tonight to tell you about Jesus. But you've all heard about him, right? And what are you doing then? The Queen of Solomon heard about him. She didn't know him either. Sailors told about him. Servants of Solomon told about him, and it came to her palace and she took off to go and seek him. The fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, it says in verse 1. Are you seeking him? Are you giving yourself a little exercise to seek him? I mean, she spent 6 months on the road. Apparently, if she came from where she came from, it's, I think, is South Yemen, or perhaps somewhere in Africa. Who knows where she came from? But it's a long journey. The Queen of the South came all the way, Jesus said. And will she rise up in judgment against us? Are you seeking him? Right? Maybe you don't know him personally. She didn't either. Maybe you only heard about him from others. She did too. Maybe she's hesitant, or maybe she was a little skeptical to believe all the stories she heard about Solomon. Maybe you're a little bit skeptical too about Jesus. Go try him. Go try him with your heart questions. Go try him saying, Lord, I am not so excited about thee. I'm excited about my bike and about my games and about my business and about my work and my friends. That gets me excited. But thee, oh no, there's not much in my heart, Lord, that really draws to thee. Let's be honest with Jesus. and ask him to make you like this queen, so that you will sing for him, "Blessed be the Lord thy God. It's delighted in thee to set thee on the throne." Let's sing together, Psalter 199. That's a bit of an unusual tune, the organist told me tonight, but it has actually some really beautiful words in it. So let's give our best to sing 199 together. His saints shall live, and to the king rich gifts in tribute shall be paid. His praises men shall ever sing, for him shall endless prayer be made. So let's sing all verses of 199. Paul is describing the story of Jesus in Philippians 2, how he became obedient to death. And he concludes with the ascension. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, should bow, of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord or King, to the glory of God the Father. And you see that spiritual insight in the psalm that we just sang. Huh? By the spirit of the prophecy, by the prophecy spirit, the psalmist writes, his name shall evermore abide. In him shall all the world be blessed. For all the nations, far and wide, his praise shall ever be confessed. There comes a day that all the world will bow their knee. For some too late. They will bow, but not be part of the kingdom. Where are you tonight? In this bowing and this worship of the King. Are we on the page of the Queen of Solomon, of Sheba? As she worships the King. Let's think about that in the second place. See, we are to worship him, particularly for his breath-taking wisdom. You see in verse 8, she says, happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. You know, that Queen of Sheba was no foolish person. She was no doubt an intelligent person as well, but she realizes soon that she's standing in front of someone who is vastly superior to her. She's tried him with all kinds of questions. We don't know what they all were. But as he answers them one after the other, there is no spirit in her. She says, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. The congregation, everyone who is taught of the Lord will say this. When you get to know the glory of Jesus, you say, Lord, I never knew. I sat for 30 years under the preaching. I never knew. I have heard for 40 years messages about thee. I didn't understand. I didn't see it. When our eyes are open and we begin to see the glory of the ascended, the risen, ascended Jesus Christ, we will say like her, no, the half was not told to me. Congregation, you may have heard lots about Jesus, about his greatness, about his goodness, about his wisdom. But it hasn't left you breathless. If it hasn't made the heart burn, as it happened to the man to Emmaus, as Jesus opened the scriptures about himself. You see, then we're missing something significant in our life. May I ponder with you for a moment this evening something of the glory of that Jesus Christ now seated at the throne of God? He's not only the power of God, that's comforting, but he's also the wisdom of God. Maybe you came tonight too with a question. A question that the wise men of the world, a question that the angels of the world, a question that no man can answer. What is the question that God only can answer and that Jesus only can answer? Well, maybe it's your question too. How can an unholy person like me ever have communion with an holy person that God is? There's just no matching here. An unequal yoke. How can it ever become one? How can I, having failed God, having offended God, having grieved God, having provoked God, how can I ever be acceptable to him and be received with him? That is a question. A question that Solomon also couldn't answer unless he understood the gospel, which we assume he did. But he didn't get it from himself. That is the wisdom of God given to him. Are you here tonight saying, Pastor, I don't understand how God could forgive me for all the wrong that I have done. How can he be faithful to his word in the day you eat thereof you shall die and then not let me die? You see, these are questions that are all answered in that Son of Man that sits at the right hand of God. Ever seen that? As he came to earth and as he took on the earthly human nature without sin, as he walked as the last Adam over this earth, as he gave his life and laid it down, no one took it from him. Laid it down. When he entered into the last phase of his life, he became the substitute for sinners. You know what the Bible calls that? The wisdom of God. In the person of Jesus Christ, God has bundled all his divine wisdom to make possible that he, being holy and just and righteous, can take the younger son who came back like a filthy pig in his arms. Can you see that in Christ the Father, who is holy, can embrace what is unholy? That's Jesus. And therefore this prophet, the Hebrew says he is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God through him. He can't go anywhere else to God. There's only one way and one door, and that is Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that God has provided in Christ this way and opened this door for you and me to draw near to him who is holy and just. And congregation, the queen didn't say that. And perhaps the queen didn't see that yet. But the only way that God could do that is he take that very Son of Man, crown him with the thorns, nailed him to the cross, stripped him of all his dignity, made him feel the shame of the cross in order to pay for the price of your sin. You see, there's hope for you. You see, there is hope for you. You can't pay. You can't repay. You can't take away the guilt. You can't decrease the burden. You can't decrease the debt, I mean. You can only increase it. But look, there is at the right hand of the Father an advocate, a representative, a substitute, someone to take up your cause and your need. And through him, there is salvation. No wonder that this woman says, happy are thy man, and happy are thy servant, which stands continually in thy presence to hear thy wisdom. Come, what is today your answer and your response to this king? Oh, beloved congregation, it's not possible to be neutral tonight. It's not possible tonight. The Bible declares he is your king. You won't escape him. There comes a day you stand before him as the queen stood before Solomon. We'll see him in the glory. We read it tonight from Acts. As he went up, so he comes back. Suddenly, unnoticed by the world until he's there. And then we'll stand face to face with this Blessed Jesus Christ, whom God has made king. And today, the king is still having in his hand the golden scepter. I'm here as his ambassador to reach out to you the sweet and joyful tidings that the king is still in the position to receive you. Today, if you hear my voice, today, he's still stretching out that golden scepter to welcome you. Say, yes, it is still possible. There comes a day that Jesus lays, as it were, the golden scepter down. And then he takes up the rod of iron. And then it's over. And there is no more time to come to this king and to implore him, cover me, wash me, represent me, take me. Be my Lord and Savior. Oh, please, think tonight what we will do with this exalted King. And children of God, it's good for us to remind ourselves again and again when God has covered to you the riches of Christ. Remember that? And I began to see the glory that there is in this crucified Savior, who died, who rose, who ascended, who is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. In Him is your hope. Remember that? Recall that. Recall those days in which that discovery of this Savior began to warm and draw your heart. And what will you say then? And what did you say then? Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. And will you not join the Apostle Paul then, unto me who as the least of all the saints was this great grace given? Are we still singing? Singing like the Queen did here. Blessing God, when is the last time that you were like Simeon? You took Jesus, as it were, in your arms of faith, and you lifted up your very voice to God, and you say, blessed be thou, O Lord God, for having given us Jesus, thy Son, as the man a ransom for my soul. And it's the last time that you stood next to this queen and worshipped him for the gift of his Son. Now let's consider lastly where to honor him with his gifts. This foreign queen came with loads of gifts, and we'll leave that for why she did that. But it is beautiful what we read in verse 10. She gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices and precious stones. And there came no more such substance or abundance as these which the queen of Sheba gave to the king of Solomon. I won't make too much of what that queen did, but let's take a spiritual thought out of it. After seeing it and she heard it and she's been with this king and she has been given the answers, her heart just says, I want to thank you, Solomon. And she brings him a gift. She's so devoted, so thankful. And the test of true, genuine salvation, our catechism always says, is the life of gratitude. Isn't it? It is that question, oh Lord, what can I do for thee? Is it never the question you ask? What can I do more for thee? For what thou hast done, having come all the way here and suffered and died and now reigning and ruling, what can I do? No, friends, we can't add anything to God. We cannot give anything to Him. But all of us who have learned to know Him in His grace and love and power, we want to do something for Him. Isn't it? And the more you see what that king is and what he's done, the more your heart will say, what can I render? What can I do? What can I give? Of course, Jesus needs most of our heart. But Jesus can do with your gifts. Well, maybe not so much Jesus, but how about Jesus' people? Or who are Jesus' people, by the way? Jesus' people are not only the people that are in the church. We heard tonight, he's king over all the world. There's others who need to hear about Jesus. There's others in this world who need to feel the touch. They need to smell the smell. They need to hear the name. They need to see the face. They need to feel the hands. They need to see the sacrifice. And how will they see him? He's in heaven. Maybe we can be more like the queen. She devoted her gifts. She gave of herself. She poured herself out. She didn't mind a half year of a journey and a half year back again. And I ask tonight your and my question as we consider this great king and what he's doing for us. Day and night, children of God, he is praying for us, making intercession for us while we sleep and while we are awake. While we sleep? Yes, because we sin when we sleep. Even then he is making intercession. Ceaseless is he doing his priestly work. You read John 17, ceaselessly is praying the substance of that. Father, keep them. As you sleep, the adversary of the world is not asleep. He's praying, protect them. Keep them in this world. Constantly is the head of the church, the risen and ascended king, laboring for us. Children of God, how little do we think of him in that ascended state? I believe in Jesus Christ, who standeth at the right hand of God the Father, and he sitteth there also as the token of the completion of his work. The queen gave, and I wonder what I can give. I wonder what I can sacrifice. Let's take that question along. What can I devote more to thee, Lord Jesus, for what thou hast done for me? Not only did the queen give gifts. Notice, she also received gifts. And we'll conclude with that. In verse 13, King Solomon gave the queen all her desire, whatever she asked, so all her questions, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. And she turned and went to her own country, seeing her servants. How infinitely more does Jesus Christ bestow his riches and his benefits on those that honor and serve him as the king. What kind of benefits? Forgiveness of sin. Peace with God. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Strength for the day, as weeping will endure for the night. Communion with God. Angels guards. Spirits indwelling. Making intercession. Ever leading us. Testifying with our spirit, delivering us from the bondage of the fear, and bringing in us the spirit of Abba, Father. See, these are gifts, aren't they? All these bestowed out of the kingly treasures through Jesus Christ in his church here below. Thomas Brook is so right when he says, all the believers in Christ, you have the best of both worlds. You have all of the king's benefits here, and you will have all of the king and his benefits hereafter. Yes. What a joy. think about that. Endless and infinitely more will the gifts be when He returns. Then there will be glories that haven't been revealed yet. Paul says, brethren, stop. Don't look so much at the sufferings of today. For they are nothing compared to what is coming. What shall be revealed to us and in us? When finally the King will come back, and then what? Then we will be among those in verse 8. We'll be standing in the presence of the King. We'll be serving in the presence of the King. We will talk with the King. We will hear the King. We will be with Him forever and forever. Like this Queen dwelt for some time at the palace of this Solomon. And then we will dwell in the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwelleth only righteousness. Oh, beloved children of God, look beyond the present. Look beyond the suffering. Look beyond what is missing today to what is coming. And what is the guarantee? It's His very presence in heaven. For where the head is, there the body will follow. And then what? Well, listen to how even in the Old Testament days, David writes about that. Where we will behold His face in righteousness, and we will be satisfied with His likeness. We will be like Him, like the King. And in another psalm, where we will experience the fullness of joy. Here it will not be fullness. Here we get a sip and a crumb, but there the fullness of joy. And we will experience at His right hand pleasures forever and ever and forevermore. What a prospect. And again in Psalm 36, and then we shall abundantly be satisfied with the fatness of the house as we drink of the rivers of His pleasures in the communion with God. Now, that's the prospect of all those who've learned to honor the King. And may I close then with one more of these Ascension Day Psalms. And it's a Psalm 2. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, and be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Let's look at that last statement. Blessed. That's what the Queen said. Blessed are these thy servants. And who are they that put their trust in Him? Tonight, you have put your trust in an object upon which you hope, upon which you feel security, or maybe you have no sense of security because you're beginning to see that the trust you put on yourself and upon who you are and what you're doing is no good foundation. You feel restless, don't you? You feel fearful. You feel not ready. Listen to Him. Blessed are all they that put their trust in this ascended King. Oh, you put your trust in Him. Have you put your trust in Him? Are you indeed trusting Him for who He is and what He has done to make it right between God and you? Congregation, we cannot make it right between God and us. We cannot restore it. But there's one who stands there at the right hand of the Father and who's preaching to you today. He says, and I can make it right. I can make it right for you. No matter how wrong you made it, I am the one who is able to save to the uttermost, and I have received an eternal priesthood. Kiss that Son. And if you don't know how to do so, and let him hear tonight. Jesus, teach me to kiss thee. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, eternal King, glorious King, give us indeed something of that insight of this Queen of Sheba, that we may look beyond the veil of the clouds. Thou would give us something of what Stephen saw. And yet, Lord, we pray that we may believe what Thou hast declared in the Word, even though we don't see it. For Thou doesn't teach us to live by sight, but to live by faith. And Thy Word is so abundantly telling us what is happening behind the veil of this heavenly, eternal realm. And we pray then for faith tonight, to increase our faith, Lord God, and Thy children may rejoice and may see the advantage and the profit of Thy ascension. And that we together with this Queen may more dwell on Thy glory, on Thy goodness, on Thy wisdom in the provision of this way of salvation. Please, Lord, open also the eyes tonight of those that stand afar off, that do not see Thy glory, those who are not moved at all, that do not feel the sense of need to know Thee or to seek Thee even. I pray, Lord Jesus, teach Thou us to kiss Thee. Teach Thou us this act of faith to show honor, this act of faith in trusting Thee. And what a blessed beatitude, that blessed are all those of us who have put their trust in Thee. And may that, Lord, be multiplied, that indeed we may live in the joyfulness of the fact of Thy ascension, and that we may be reminded daily, even the little children, in faith, what John wrote, that if any man sin, that there is an advocate at the right hand of God, Jesus Christ the righteous. O blessed Lord, exalt Thyself, fill our heart with the joyful meditations for Jesus' sake. Amen.